Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we once again hear the stories of this day, stories so familiar to us. Help us, though, to hear them, not like we've heard them before, but in a way that speaks to us in our lives, in truths that we need to hear. Give us ears and minds and hearts to understand what this day and this week means for us. And give us mouths to call out to you in grateful thanksgiving for all that has been and all that will be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 1971, the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, exploded on the Broadway stage. Andrew Weber and Tim Rice had not only created a new genre of a musical, that being of rock opera, but they had done something that really had not been done before, if so, not for a very long time. They had put the passion of Jesus Christ into a new idiom. In the case of Jesus Christ Superstar, into an idiom that the Woodstock generation could relate with. The opera offended the sensibilities of many Christians at that time. But over the year, because of being done again and again, and the opera is playing once again on Broadway now, it has been domesticated. And we don't really hear it as it was when it first was produced. The opera opens with Judas singing the song, Heaven on Their Minds. I will not offend your sensibilities by singing it. But I want to share with you the first several verses or parts to it. This is Judas singing. My mind is clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus, you started to believe the things they say about you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon be swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Judas, in the lyrics of Tim Rice, feels that who Jesus is and what he did was more important in the minds of the people than the things he said. And what Tim Rice's Judas lays out for us is the problem of many Christians today who see Jesus as that incantation. If you say it enough times, you'll get to heaven. However, what is important to note is that Jesus was the Son of God. That's what Judas didn't see. And he did a lot, as well as said a lot. And he was right, we do need to listen to him. Judas only had it half right. He did not fully understand who it was he was working for. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but his understanding was the Messiah would usher in a reign of power and supremacy for the Jewish people. Judas did not out Jesus to get money. If that was the case, he wouldn't have committed suicide. Judas was committed to Jesus. But this commitment led him to out Jesus so that when Jesus was backed into the corner of his arrest, the great wonder-working Messiah then would come out and would usher in the new kingdom. However, Judas had it wrong. Well, most of it. He had not been listening to what Jesus was saying as well. He tried to force Jesus into the mold of what he thought the Messiah should be and would do. Rather than falling into Judas's concept of the Messiah, Jesus kept his integrity and continued to operate out of his own mind what he thought the Messiah was. And he went to the cross. We can only imagine the thoughts of Judas's mind when he kissed Jesus. He believed he was starting the great rebellion. He believed that he was starting the beginning of the coming of the new Davidic kingdom. And what scared him up to that point was that he knew that when people began to say that they were God, the people would jump on the bandwagon until they figured out that they had been duped and they would get angry. It had happened time and time again. Later in the song, Judas sings, "They think they found their new Messiah, and they'll hurt you when they find you wrong." Calling yourself divine was a way of getting yourself killed. A struggle in the early church, and still today, is the question. What was Jesus? Was he fully human? Or was he fully divine? You see, Judas saw Jesus as a human figure of power. Yes, he could do wonderful things, amazing things. But he did not see Jesus as a divine figure. And he figured if Jesus kept that kind of talk up, they were all going to get killed. You see, in ancient Judaism, you did not have to be divine to be the Messiah. After all, the great King David was not divine. But I think we have flip-flopped today. Many today believe the opposite, that Jesus was fully divine, but never really human. He pretended to be human. That's why Paul said what he said in Philippians. Even though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, a human being. Fully human, fully divine. The early heresy of Gnosticism believed that Jesus was a spiritual being who only had the appearance of being human. And I'm talking about this because this is very important to understand as we begin our journey through the coming week. Ronald Getz, in 1987, in an article in the Christian Century entitled "Judas as Patron Saint," talks about how Judas saw Jesus as the peace to return the Jews to power and prosperity. Getz sees Judas as the patron saint of many Christians today in that many believe that Jesus promised prosperity, power, and an easy life. Jesus never promised that at all. Just look at his own life. If it was anything but powerful in the worldly sense, or prosperous, or easy. people still do not listen to what the writer of the Gospel of Matthew says when he talks about the meek, the poor in spirit, the persecuting ones are the ones who are going to be blessed, inherit the kingdom. And yet, many today have made Jesus as a symbol of righteous power. And many are trying to make Jesus as a symbol of political power. And Jesus eschewed both of those. When he was tempted, that's what he was being tempted with. Righteous power, political power, miracle power. And he said, no. Many have heaven on their minds. But it's the wrong idea of heaven. To follow Jesus means that we have to be willing to carry our cross for Him. That's what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Judas didn't want to carry a cross. He wanted Rome out. And Jesus on the throne of David. And so as we begin this journey through Holy Week, I hope we can be aware of what it means to say that Jesus is the Messiah. It makes all the difference in how we understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Because you see, if Jesus is fully divine but not human, then the crucifixion's a sham. Because Jesus didn't feel a thing in his words, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, becomes a joke. Because Jesus would not have felt pain. Now, if we say that Jesus is fully human but not divine, then the resurrection becomes a case of someone stole the body and put it someplace else, and there's no resurrection for us. We have to believe in both parts if the story is to make any sense for us. We have to see who he was, but also listen to what he says about how to live our lives. We follow him when we are willing to carry our own cross because we don't. Let's not keep nailing him to the cross because we don't want to carry one ourselves. Let's be willing to take a deep look at the events of this week and ask ourselves, what's my response? What do I believe about this man, Jesus? And I'll give you the first question to begin to think about it. Is Judas my patron saint? Amen.